This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all of the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord this has been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These I must also lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Kevin, here we are, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Easter season is still going strong. And today we are having a celebration of Good Shepherd Sunday.
Yes. Every year, the fourth Sunday of Easter, Church's liturgy presents us The figure of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Of course, we're going to read from John chapter 10 in the Gospel. And this is something that's really gone back to the earliest times of our church. The figure of Christ as a Good Shepherd was a prominent image in Christian art, in the catacombs, on baptismal fonts. And it's a beautiful image of our faith in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the figure of the shepherd was also an image for God. And there were a lot of references to God as a shepherd. Of course, probably the most famous is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's a beautiful image because when you think about an image of a shepherd, you see protection, you see care, you see love. You know, remember Christ says, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Christ not only says that he knows his sheep, he says that the sheep know him, right? This knowledge is mutual. And the more we know Christ, the more we trust him and the more we love him.
Exactly.
So what a beautiful celebration we have on Good Shepherd Sunday.
It is beautiful imagery, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're going to continue reading from the Acts of the Apostles today.
Yes, this is a continuation from last week, where Peter and John had just healed a crippled man, and that drew a very curious crowd. And then Peter read him the riot act, and, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this power to heal came from the same Jesus, the same Messiah that you put to death. But in this gospel, or in this first reading today, Peter is addressing the Sadducees because he and John had just been arrested and they were brought before them for questioning. And Peter's response? Well, he launches into a full-on sermon about how Jesus, whom they crucified, was the Messiah, and that it was through the power of the resurrected Christ that the lame man was healed. Can you even imagine their fury at being lectured by this fisherman-turned-preacher and being told that they were not only guilty of the death of the Messiah, but that this resurrected Christ was also their only hope of salvation? Oh, and one more little twist. The Sadducees, they were the Jewish sect that believed there was no such thing as an afterlife. So Peter's testimony about the resurrection of Jesus totally crushed their entire theological belief system. But also remember, Peter wasn't a scribe, and he had no formal education in Jewish law or philosophy, and there he was, standing before the Jewish high priest and authorities, and they were powerless to stop him because, had they tried to punish Peter and John, that newly converted massive crowd still hanging around would have become the personification of fire and brimstone, and they knew it. They did not want that kind of conflict. So the high priest and his council were left with no option other than to release Peter and John with a stern warning to stop teaching about Jesus.
Yeah. So was it the elders' pride or their education level blind them to the truth?
Or all of it?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of both. Well, we don't really actually know. But as you mentioned, Peter had little formal education, but he was instructing them.
Yeah.
Now, before we kind of get too hard on the scribes and the Sadducees and everybody else, I believe we also, through our pride, reject the very means in which God tries to sanctify us today. Mainly the church and her beautiful teachings, the sacraments that are offered. You know, we also, I think, and this is hard, we also must be open to charitable fraternal correction. So we have to, that's sometimes hard to eat humble pie, but sometimes we also need that as well. So we kind of need to turn that around.
But it depends on who it's coming from.
That's true.
You
oh,
know?
Yeah, certainly.
Imagine how they felt coming from a fisherman. You know, so that's...
Wait a second, who are you telling
that
me
that would
this?
Put another little yeah, bit, a bit yeah. of taste to it,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, so I really think, like Peter, we must also be courageous in a country today that is awash in godless sin. As one example, think of how people who hate our country have redefined three beautiful words to worship a false god. And those words are diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? True Catholic definitions of those words. We as Catholics live the true version. But see how these words are twisted to worship a false deity, a false god. Think of how these are twisted. Diversity now likes to be, they want to redefine it to judging people by their color and not by their merits or meritocracy. Think about equity. Equal outcomes, not equal opportunity. Inclusion. intolerance and violence towards anyone who does not agree with them. This is the false god of DEI today. And this is what's ruining our country. So we need to embrace the true God, the true meanings of these words, and the true Catholic social teaching. Now, I want to be very clear that every person is deserving of love and respect. But love is not saying that everything you do is okay. Love is a decision of the will for the good of the other. And that's why parents say no to their children. They love them and they want them to be better. So, Carla, by this definition, I must be a pretty good parent.
Well said. Well said, Kevin.
So our courage really needs to be motivated by love and the good of the other, and how important that is today.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah.
Well, in our second reading, we continue to read from 1 John.
Okay, and in this reading, John tells us that we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet been revealed. We become God's children through the sacrament of baptism, and we know God in a limited way. We share in His grace and His blessings, and we multiply those graces and blessings when we share His love with others. St. John also tells us we do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And he's referring to the day that we will meet Christ face to face after our earthly life has ended and our time of purification has been perfected.
Yeah, and to hit on something along those lines, that children of God, we have a great dignity because we partake in a divine nature. And as you mentioned, the reason the world doesn't know Him is that know us is that it did not know Him. I mean, this is profound. What we're saying here is the world does not recognize that we are completely dependent on God and that His Son, Jesus Christ, came to save us. We do not have a society that lives that way. Remember, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And yet God chooses us to be in His family. We don't get to choose our family, but God chooses us, warts and all, to be in His family and have us a partaker of this divine nature. And how profound and beautiful that is. If we just live that way in our world today, it would be completely different.
Agreed.
Well, we are going to contrast in the gospel the good shepherd versus a hired hand. Well, hired hands do not have the commitment to be truly concerned about the human condition, do they, Carla?
No, they don't. And in this gospel reading, St. John shares with us the words that Jesus spoke to the skeptical Pharisees who resented the miracle that he performed when he restored sight to the man who was born blind. Jesus compares a hired man to the shepherd who owns the sheep, getting to the root of the problem with many of the Pharisees who were more interested in their pay in the form of social status, prestige, financial stability, and so on, than in the well-being of the people. And I mean, why were they so upset that the man's vision was restored? If they were truly interested in his welfare, they should have been ecstatic. This teaching about what it means to be a good shepherd isn't just for the Pharisees from once upon a time. This teaching is for every person in authority in every walk of life, to name just a few: employers, managers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, fathers, and mothers, along with the privilege that comes with baptism. The privilege of becoming adopted sons and daughters of God also comes the responsibility of living out Christian duty to our brothers and sisters in Christ.
And if we don't call sin a sin, we act like that hired hand. So what can we do to act like a shepherd? Well, we need to vote for politicians that are aligned with Catholic moral values. We need to seek out friends, worthy clubs and organizations to join and be nurtured by each other. And I will say that a reminder that you have, if you're a parent, the unalienable and primordial right to educate your children, meaning that it's a first right and it cannot be taken away from you. But if you choose not to directly educate your children, seek authentically Catholic schools because that is the future of our church. And so in summary, we need to act like shepherds.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.